In Pennsylvania, so many cities and towns are in financial distress that one economic development specialist has what he calls the measles map of the state, covered with 27 red dots representing struggling communities. One in four Pennsylvanians lives in a financially distressed city or town. There's Scranton, where this month the mayor cut city workers' pay to minimum wage, but he says this week he can make full payroll. In Harrisburg, money is so tight the city filed for bankruptcy last year and recently entered into Act 47, the state's program to turn around the worst-case local governments. They'll have a recovery plan created for them, but the city doesn't have to adopt it. And only six cities have ever graduated from Act 47. How did it get this way? For answers, we turn to Stephen Fair, who writes about it for Stateline. And Stephen, why focus on Pennsylvania?
Well, we looked at Pennsylvania because we're examining how states help their troubled cities when they run into financial distress. And certainly the financial problems of cities and counties have been in the news a lot lately with the bankruptcies of the cities in California and the largest county in Alabama. It's especially difficult for a lot of cities throughout Pennsylvania who never recovered from the decline of the coal and the steel and the textile industries that began in the 1980s. Pittsburgh's probably the best example of that, which has had to retool its economy considerably because of the decline of the steel industry. And what I found is that the state has a goal of what it calls fostering fiscal integrity of its local governments. But what I found is that the Act 47 program has had really unexceptional results. There's 27 cities in this program, and a dozen of them have been distressed over 10 years.
Can some of that failure be attributed to things that aren't in cities' control? I mean, talk about Aliquippa in the northwest part of Pennsylvania.
Aliquippa is a good example. This is a city that's northwest of Pittsburgh, and its main employer was a LTV Corporation steel mill that employed 14,000 workers at its peak, but it fell to 3,500 by 1988 when the city entered this program. And the plant eventually closed altogether in the year 2000, and it drained so much tax revenue from the city that they had trouble delivering basic services. There are other things that cities can't control. A natural disaster can hit.
And judicial rulings can go against a city and cost them a lot of money as well.
That's right. We spoke about Scranton, which has been in the news lately since the mayor cut the pay of city workers to the minimum wage. And a lot of that stemmed from a state Supreme Court ruling. The city tried to freeze wages and cut benefits for its city police and firefighters who belong to unions. And this was back in 2002. But arbitrators working, you know, to mediate between the city and the union awarded the workers bonuses and raises. So it went to court, and many years later, 2011, the state Supreme Court sided with the workers and said that public safety workers are entitled to binding arbitration in return for their agreement not to strike. And as a result of that ruling, it knocked a $30 million hole in Scranton's budget.
So I understand Scranton's mayor and some other city leaders want to change that state law, as well as other laws that really hamstring them from making more money, let's say, in property taxes, because they can't tax government buildings, churches, hospitals. What are they trying to do?
They want the legislature to collaborate with local officials and union leaders to change the state law to allow local governments to cut their personnel costs based on their government's ability to pay. If they don't do that, there are going to be more cities that fall into this program, they say. But one of the other state laws is kind of interesting. In fact, the former governor there, Ed Rendell, said that this is the single biggest problem of cities in Pennsylvania is that there's this problem with tax-exempt property. It's a common thread that runs through all these distressed cities. They're barred by state law from collecting property taxes from government buildings, churches, hospitals, colleges, and social service agencies.
Don't other cities have the same problem?
They do. It varies state by state, but it's been an acute problem in Pennsylvania because they haven't changed the laws. I mean, over half of the assessed value of property in Harrisburg is tax exempt.
But do you really think municipal leaders are doing everything they can in Pennsylvania? Are they raising local taxes? Are they capping spending?
Well, a lot of the distress that they're in is their own fault, too. There's been ample documentation of mismanagement, like in Reading, Pennsylvania. They borrowed from their sewer fund to pay for their operations of the city, and then they didn't pay it back. Some cities have skipped their pension payments to their employees. There's a lot of political infighting. The Scranton council doesn't agree with the mayor. They're not alone. That's happened in Harrisburg. That's been a big problem there with their bankruptcy.
Yeah, so they're making some bad decisions, maybe some incurring debt for parking garages in Scranton, a never-built hockey rink in Allentown, and a trash incinerator in Harrisburg that seems to have burned through the city budget. Don't they share the blame?
That's right. And one of the interesting things that has occurred in Harrisburg and Scranton and Allentown is they've set up independent authorities apart from the government, and these are special bodies of government that run projects like parking garages and arenas and toll roads and power plants. It saves the government money because it's off their books, but these are shadow governments. The residents, they don't vote to create the authorities. They don't vote for the people that run them. The problem is a lot of cities are guaranteeing or backstopping these projects. And when the projects run into trouble, so does the city.
We just saw Stockton in California go bankrupt. And California's a lot bigger than Pennsylvania. I'm wondering, is this an indication of what's to come in many cities across the country?
No, it's tempting to say, well, this is the tip of an iceberg, but a lot of what's happened in these cities, as I've hoped I've made clear, is it's event-driven. There's something that happened, collapse of the steel industry in Pittsburgh, bad management in Harrisburg, and infighting on the city council there. Same in those jurisdictions in California. They've had some similarities to Pennsylvania in that there's events they can't control, their state aid has been cut off, so the state has help contribute to their problems, but a lot of it is the result of their own doing. So, no, I don't think you're going to see dozens of these around the country.
Stephen Fair is senior staff writer for Stateline. We'll link you to his article at hereandnow.org. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.
Hot potato, hot potato. Hot potato, hot potato.
It makes you want to dance, but it also may make you want to cringe. Are you a parent who's had enough of the Wiggles? Later this week, we'll talk to a dad who got his son to love indie rock. How about you? Tell us about kids' music or adults' music that both you and your kids actually like at facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Back in a minute, Here and Now.